The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, check this out. You guys all know that I love to use facts and figures and numbers because that's the reality in which we live and find ourselves, and then applying and working through all of that through a biblical worldview. But listen to this. This might be a little shocking to some of you. With the advent of modern medicine and superior resuscitation techniques, the prevalence of people being brought back from clinical death has soared. In 1982, a Gallup poll reported that 8 million people have had near-death experiences, or NDEs as they're called, according to the New York Times. In the 40 years since Moody coined the term near-death experience, studies in the United States and Germany suggest approximately 4.2% of the population has reported a near-death experience. That's one out of every 25 people, or nearly 13 million Americans, and it's an even bigger number now. So let me jump to the front of this book that I've been telling you guys about for several weeks now. Over the past 35 years, I've read that author is speaking or heard close to 1,000 near-death stories. There are millions out there. I started seeing amazing commonalities across stories, intriguing detailed descriptions by doctors, professors, commercial airline pilots, children, people from around the globe. Each gave a slightly different angle to what started to look like a very similar picture. During that same 35-year time frame, I went from a career in engineering to full-time ministry. I include well over 100 stories of people who are clinically dead or near death, were revived, and had amazing details to report. I'm writing from the perspective of a convinced Christian, but I was not always convinced. The name of the book, which has now sold over a million copies, which is just staggering, is Imagine Heaven, Near-Death Experiences, God's Promises, and the Exhilarating Future That Awaits You. For those of you on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, watching live or catching it later, you might be wondering, where is Steve Noble? Because I'm sitting here with a dress shirt on. And I know that's abnormal. And normally, the only time I get dressed up like this is at a wedding or at a funeral, and occasionally at an event that I have to MC. In this case, it was a dear friend of mine's funeral today, a believer. And so that's a really ripe soil for me to be having this conversation with Pastor John Burke, who's the author of Imagine Heaven, as well as the pastor of Gateway Church down in beautiful Austin, Texas, which is where my parents met. So we have a lot in common there going back to Austin. And this book, John, my wife for a couple of years, her sister, sadly, Nikki, went to be with the Lord a couple years ago, just the age of 58 from pancreatic cancer. Gina, my wife, lost her mom at 66. And so I can't remember how God got your book into my wife's hands, but it was amazing, John, to watch how it ministered to her. And then she kept trying to get me to read it. And I want to talk about this because I know you started out kind of skeptical. I'm an uber skeptical person, part of the reason I'm on the radio. And so I'm like, yeah. But once I cracked it open, John, page after page, chapter after chapter, I have a pretty good sanctified imagination. It was such an encouraging, thought-provoking experience for me to follow my wife's experience. So it's just wonderful and a great blessing to have you on, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. And I validate your skepticism. I think it's all right.
Yes, it's all right. And so for I know a lot of people, I have a pretty conservative audience. As soon as I started talking about near-death experiences over the last couple of weeks leading up to today, I'm sure that rattled a few cages. But this was like a 30-year journey for you. So why did you start studying this stuff so many years ago?
Yeah, and let me just say, you know, when I wrote the book 7 years ago, true story, I said to God, well, this may be the end of my ministry, but I trust you.
Amen. Yeah.
And because I, you know, it took me 35 years to write the book. Mm-hmm. So the way I got into it was back when I was still an agnostic. As you said, I've always been analytically minded. I was an engineer. So science, engineering, I worked as an engineer. And when I was still an agnostic, I had a lot of questions, and my church upbringing didn't answer any of them. Hmm. Like, how do you know there's really a God? How do you know Jesus isn't just a, you know, another good man turned legendary into, you know, a son of God? And I had all these, nobody could answer my questions. Well, my dad was dying of cancer. And so this is in 78. And someone gave him the copy of the first research on near-death experiences. It was just starting to come out. And I saw it on his dresser. I read it in one night and I said, oh my gosh, this God, Jesus stuff may be real. And this could be like actual scientific medical evidence. And if so, this is important. That actually just opened me up. And a number of years later, I was invited into a small group Bible study, started studying the Bible, asking my questions, finding answers, came to faith for completely different reasons, not near-death experiences. Yeah. But then as I ended up journeying from engineering into ministry, it was like God kept running me into people or these stories over and over again. And I was always scratching my head, like, how do they fit with what the Bible says? And so it literally did take 35 years of studying it, collecting it, researching it. Though I did do my first talk on it in 1989 at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Wow. So I've been at it that long.
Yeah. And the thing that's amazing about it, and again, I went into it very skeptical. And I think in the Western church particularly, when we get into these kind of more supernatural type claims and encounters and stories of people, like if you go on a mission trip to Haiti, it's one thing, or Africa, it's another thing, or China, it's another thing. But here in the good old U.S. of A., that kind of crazy stuff just doesn't happen. However, which is why I started with that portion from the book, the reality is, the medical reality is, people are dying and being brought back to life. Medical technology has gotten us there. And if you're going to be consistent with a Christian worldview, you know that when somebody dies, immediately something happens. And the scriptures testify to that. So we're not in kind of la-la land when we consider this, are we?
No. And that's why I wrote the book, because over the years of studying it, you know, what I found, first of all, is what convinced me has also convinced many skeptical doctors, cardiologists, oncologists. And the reason I wrote it is because there are commonalities that people talk about literally all over the globe.
Yeah.
And I have addressed in Imagine Heaven, I show about 40 commonalities of what people describe.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And 40 of the 40 are addressed in the Bible.
We're going to get into that. We're talking to Pastor John Burke. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here on Friday, July 22nd, and I've been looking forward to this time together with Pastor John Burke, who's the author of Imagine Heaven, over a million copies sold now, Near-Death Experiences, God's Promises, and the Exhilarating Future That Awaits You. And if you're listening on the radio, do yourself a favor and somehow get to the Facebook page for the Steve Noble Show or the YouTube page, because we're going to talk about a whole lot of depth. There's so much depth here. There's no way we can do it really any kind of good justice in an hour, even when we're talking on the commercial break. So I don't want you to miss any of this. But ultimately, I would challenge you and encourage you to read it for yourself. I went into it very skeptical. It took my wife 2 years to kind of encourage me, air quotes, into reading it. And I am so glad I did. It reminded me, John, when I read the book on heaven by figures. I'm 56. I just lost his name. It's like a 450-page book.
Randy Alcorn.
And then that's when, like, okay, I think it's okay for me to begin to imagine heaven. And like I said, I'm a numbers guy. So I know that at this point, even without the John Webb telescope, there's like 70 sextillion known stars in the universe. And I'm like, maybe one day God's just going to throw the gate open and we're going to get to play in the entire playground. I don't know. But that sounds like God to me. But anyway, it's been just great to read it. And it's so great to have you on.
Well, and think about two things. One, Paul says in Colossians 3, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, because that's where your life is, hidden in the heavenlies. And we're to think about it. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means we've got to imagine it. So we're commanded to do that. The problem is, I find most Christians, not to mention everybody else, don't have a good imagination of what the life to come is going to be.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think that's why we don't live for eternity,
yeah,
like the Hebrews 11 heroes of faith. Now, interestingly, just picking up on what we were talking about on the commercial break, Paul, I believe, had a near-death experience.
Yep.
In Acts chapter 14, it says they stoned him to death in Lystra. They dragged him out of the city and left him for dead. The believers rally around him. He gets back up and goes back into the city. Personally, I wouldn't go back into the city where they just stoned me to death.
Yes, yeah.
But that's Paul,
get
right?
Get the hint, right.
But I think what you were referring to in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says 14 years ago, and he's talking about himself, 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, I was taken up to the third heaven. I saw and heard things inexpressible. Mm-hmm. And then he says some things that you're not allowed to tell. Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly, indie ears say this all the time, that one, they there are some things that they knew there that are veiled when they come back here. I think that's what Paul was referring to.
Yeah.
But Paul, I believe, was referring to his being stoned to death and then reviving in Lystra. And I think that's why he gives us so much insight. You know, one of the things Paul talks about is in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about how, you know, when we die, we have a new body. Our natural bodies are buried, you know, in a brokenness, but they're raised in strength.
Yeah.
You know, they're buried in weakness, he says, but raised in dunamos, power. And it's fascinating because what indie ears say is that they didn't have five senses. When they left their body, they felt like they came alive with like 50 senses. It's like life on steroids. Mm-hmm. And you're still yourself. In fact, you're more yourself than you've ever been. Now, here's the veridical part. This is what convinced me as a skeptical engineer. So when they leave their body, they're in this spiritual body, but many times they're still in the room where their resuscitation is taking place. They're able to see things they should not have seen while they were unconscious.
Right.
And when they come back, they're able to report them, and there are things that can be checked out. So, for instance, I interviewed a cardiologist, Dr. Michael Sabum. He's a Christian, and he absolutely told me he did not believe there was such a thing as a near-death experience. But back in the 80s, when this was first being talked about, he hears actually Dr. George Ritchie, who had a near-death experience and encountered Jesus, and he would lecture on it at the University of Virginia. Hmm. And he heard this being talked about, and he was like, I'm a cardiologist. I've never heard of a cardiac arrest patient talking about this stuff. So he starts asking his patients. Mm. And then what he said is, this one guy, Pete Morton, told me he had left his body during the first cardiac arrest and had watched the resuscitation when Sabin was resuscitating him. He said, when I asked him to tell him exactly what he saw, he described the resuscitation with such detail and accuracy, I could have later used the tape to teach physicians.
Wow. Yeah, crazy.
Then Sabin says, you know, he and others saw details of the resuscitation they couldn't otherwise have seen. For instance, one patient noticed a physician who failed to wear scuffs over his white shoes during open heart surgery.
Yeah.
In many cases, I was able to check out the patient's testimony with medical records. After 5 years of research, he changes his mind, realizes there's something real to this. He
right.
publishes in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
Wow. Gutsy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Jeff Long, a radiation oncologist, reads the article. And you know, I'm friends with all these guys now. He says, no way, starts to study it himself. He's now studied thousands of them and has become a believer in Jesus.
Wow.
And he says this, by studying thousands of detailed accounts of NDEers, I found the evidence that led to this astounding conclusion. NDEs provide such powerful scientific evidence, it's reasonable to accept the existence of an afterlife.
And then you got to decide just the details. Now you have the existence of it. Now you just got to decide the details. And And it's not like somebody goes, well, you used the paddles and you gave me an injection. No, they're describing things that you otherwise would never know about. There's the one story in there about the shoes up on the ledge. Like they saw shoes up on the ledge because they left the building. And oh, there's a pair of shoes out on the ledge. And sure enough, there's a pair of shoes out on the ledge. And nobody sitting in a operating room could know that. It's impossible.
Or like in, and it's all over the world. So right. Like in the Lancet, which is like the Journal of the American Medical Association, the Europe's most prestigious medical journal. These are peer reviewed journals. Dr. Pim van Lommel, a Dutch cardiologist,
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to Pastor John Burke today about his incredible book that took years of research and years to write, over a million copies sold at this point. Imagine Heaven, Near-Death Experiences, God's Promises, and the Exhilarating Future that Awaits You. I've got links up on Facebook. So easy way to, but if you just Google it, that's all you need to do. Imagine Heaven, John Burke, B-U-R-K-E, and you'll land right there. Just think about this for a second. Just go with me for a second, because we've been talking about doctors and kind of a scientific approach. We're going to unpack the theology behind this. We mentioned a couple things, but I want to dive in there deeper and kind of deal with some of the typical kind of concerns and skeptical perspectives on this particular issue. But when the scriptures tell us that we see through the glass dimly, there's a lot of things you can do with that. But imagine that, and look, we all go out of our way to see some of the most beautiful things on earth. I've traveled a lot. Pastor John's been in 30 countries around the world. You can see beautiful things, experience beautiful things. What if all of that is like seeing through the glass dimly? As beautiful as Maui was, and as beautiful as it is, or where you go out to Wyoming, Montana, anywhere in the world, Phuket in Thailand, I don't care where you go. What if that were just a really bad shadow, like a really lousy old picture, old movie, no sound? It doesn't, it's two dimensional, doesn't really give you any flavor. And then the moment you pass from this life into the next and you're in heaven, what if heaven's actually the reality? And what we deal with here on this messed up rock is not. It's like a shadow. It's a mist. It's like this terrible little fabrication that's nowhere near the reality that's waiting for us, that God designed originally and that we're going to be in eventually. And eventually that heaven will come down to earth. And then that should begin to kind of poke at your imagination, I hope, and get you excited. As terrible as it is, I was just at a funeral. People were sad because you have this temporary separation. But my buddy, Dr. Bert Kelling, is not sad. He's the one in the story that is in glory and ecstatic, and he had a great imagination, and I'm sure his mind is completely blown and will remain such for all eternity. That's some of the blessing that you can get when you go down this road and honestly contemplate these things and just receive what the Lord has given us here in this book, Imagine Heaven by Pastor John Burke. Again, John, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, I totally agree with you, and part of why I wrote the book, you know, one, I'm a missionary at heart, and I wanted people to see that God is real. Mm-hmm. And some of the very things that convince me can convince you too. And I'm not just talking about near-death experiences. I'm talking about how much in the scripture, what these people are commonly saying, it's all the beauty of heaven. Paul said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him, right? And when people, I mean, some of the things just blow your mind. So for me, you know, when blind people who have never seen anything in their life die. So one, a great example, Vicky and another one, Brad, a little 8-year-old kid, and I've talked to them. So Vicky's dead now, but Brad I've talked to. She died when she was 22 in an automobile accident. She is a believer in Jesus. She's watching the, you know, all the stuff going on, operating on her, and she realizes she has this sight now, and it's confusing to her at first.
Blind at birth.
What?
Was she blind her whole life?
Her whole life. So it doesn't dream in any images,
right.
No colors,
nothing.
No nothing, right? And then, but she's starting to understand, okay, this must be what people call vision, right?
Wow.
And then she's like, I'm out of here. I know where I'm going. And up through the ceiling of the hospital she goes, and through this tunnel, their light at the end, and she's hearing this glorious music, and she comes out into this garden-like, beautiful scene, grass greener than you can imagine, and trees and flowers and birds, and this large gathering of people that come toward her. And she said, everything was shining with this light coming out of it that was, it was light, it was love, it was life altogether.
Wow.
And it's coming out of everything, she said. And it's coming out of the birds, it's coming out of the flowers, the trees, the people. And then she sees this one person more brilliant than the sun. And she goes to him, and it's Jesus, and she knows it's Jesus. And Jesus embraces her, and she sees the light coming out of his beard.
Wow.
And she says this hug that she has from him is deeper than any hug that's there's ever been on earth.
Yeah.
And in his presence, she gets this life review. Now, these are all commonalities, all right,
yeah,
that people experience all over the globe. But let me just point out a couple things that are in scripture that you would never think about. So first of all, near-death experiencers talk about the colors of heaven are far beyond the color spectrum. We don't have those colors here. Well, the colors here on earth are the color spectrum of the sun. But the color spectrum of heaven is the color spectrum of the glory of God.
Wow, man.
Now think about this. Isaiah 60 and Revelation 21 says, there is no sun or moon in heaven because the Lord is the light.
He's the light.
And the Lamb, Jesus, is the lamp, and the nations will walk in that light.
Wow.
Now, that's what blind people say. How would they ever get that idea? They would never heard on earth that light comes out of stuff. And yet that's what sighted people say as well when they experience this. They also talk about how they can see for miles,
right.
Miles and miles. Like your eyesight is telescopic. And which at first when I was like, oh, that's kind of new agey weird,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Until I started really studying everything about heaven in the Bible. And then I read about John in Revelation 21, who is taken in the spirit up to this very high mountain above the New Jerusalem, the city. And he says, from up on this great mountain, he showed me the holy city, and on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel.
It's pretty good vision.
How could you read names on a city from up on a very high mountain?
Yeah. I mean, it's a big gate, John, but it's not that big.
And but here's the other amazing thing. So,
wow.
You know, in Imagine Heaven, I mainly focus on stories from people like doctors who had near-death experiences, CEOs, bank presidents, commercial airline pilots, you know, people who have nothing to gain and credibility in their profession to lose by talking about these crazy stories.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And yet, you know, a commercial airline pilot, Captain Dale Black, sees that same city. God allows him to come like flying in with angels into the city, and he sees the mountain. And he said, that it was like makes Mount Everest look small.
Right. Is that the guy that was in the plane with the other guys and they crashed into that 70-foot tall edifice?
It's amazing. I mean, I have seen the New York, the LA Times picture.
Photo. I looked it up. I know.
You saw it too.
I looked it up because I'm a skeptic.
Plane, this Cessna plane was like just in pieces. Oh, nobody survived, but Dale came back.
Yeah.
To talk, and he has actually, he has flown not only TWA was a commercial airline pilot for years, but he flew medical ministry missions all over the globe as well.
Wow.
He is a devoted follower of Jesus.
Well, it was actually part of his descriptions that I read at my mother's memorial a couple weeks ago.
Well, you know, that's the chapter eight.
Yeah.
That's what I read when I'm in the hospital with people. Oh, I say, man. I just want to read you a picture.
Yeah.
Of what's ahead.
Spoiler alert.
It's mind blowing, isn't it?
It is mind blowing and it's so encouraging. And quite frankly, it's fun for me to read that because I'm an active imagination person. I love movies. I love sci-fi, all that kind of stuff. And so it just, my mind just starts opening up. And then I think of that Jesus has been working on this, been working on your house and my house and these mansions and whatever that ends up being for all this time, for a couple thousand years. And it's just mind-boggling, so exciting and exhilarating. I'm like, get me off this rock, Lord.
I know. And there's so many things like, you know, Vicky or others, they talk about that this light that comes out of even people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that kind of threw me for a while, again, until I really read the Bible.
Right? Imagine that.
No, but I say that facetiously.
Sure.
But I'd already been to seminary. And I'm a Bible nut. So I read through the Bible every year. But when I studied a systematic theology of heaven, right? So Daniel chapter 12, the angel says to Daniel, in that day, you know, everybody will be resurrected, some to perdition, some to everlasting life. And those who are righteous will shine like the stars forever.
There you go. Yeah, boom.
Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says, and then the righteous will shine like the stars in their Father's kingdom.
Wow.
So what I talk about in Imagine Heaven is that, you know, God talks about the rewards of heaven, right? So heaven is a free gift of God.
Yeah.
You know, it's grace. It's through Jesus, and Jesus is the only way. But the way we live our lives does make a difference of the experience
That's
we're
right.
going to have
yeah.
as we enter into heaven.
That's right. Everybody's cup is going to overflow, but everybody's cup isn't the same size. That's the way that I was taught that. We're talking to Pastor John Burke. Imagine Heaven is the book. Over 1 million copies sold. Do yourself a favor. Get yourself blessed. Get a copy. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Hope you're going to have a great weekend and spend time with family and people that you love. By the way, encourage people and tell them you love them. I was at a funeral earlier today. I hadn't seen my friend in a couple of years, and that's difficult. And my mother died recently, or actually in January, we did her last memorial just a couple weeks ago. And you don't want to get to the end of some of these stories with all kinds of regret. I often say that encouragement is a currency we don't trade in much. So make sure you crack open your wallet on that one and encourage people and tell them how much they mean to you and how much you love them and how much you appreciate their friendship. Because especially in this world now, since the digital age, we almost never hear that. We don't hear it outside the church. We don't hear it much inside the church. So just a little encouragement to you for the weekend to make sure you use that time wisely. We're talking to John Burke, Pastor John Burke. Imagine Heaven, near-death experiences, God's promises, and the exhilarating future that awaits you. Real quick question, John. How do we deal with, theologically, people that are outside the faith? And we're like, how can somebody that either flat-out rejects God or somebody from another religion, how can they see things that Christians see? I thought for sure that they would just immediately, they go to hell. They don't see any of this beautiful stuff. There's no second chance. How do we kind of deal with that theologically?
Well, let me say several things, and I can't remember what I said on the break.
That's okay. So, don't worry about it.
I'm not as skilled at this as you.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. So first of all, one of the interpretive keys that really helped me make sense of this with biblical truth, because, you know, Hebrews 9:27 says, appointed for humanity to die once, and then comes a judgment.
Right.
Right. So now, encapsulate that in fact that the judgment actually doesn't come till the end of human history. in people's near-death experiences, 30% of them around the world, in the presence of this God of light and love, get a life review. They relive their life. And they say things like, well, time didn't work the same way. It's like a second. I don't know if it was a second or if it was, but I saw my whole life like that. And like I relived every moment. Well, that's what Peter says in 2 Peter 3:8, right? To the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. I mean, there are all these things. But the life review is not judgment. It is Jesus showing them what matters most. It's exactly what he said. There's nothing concealed that won't be disclosed, right, or hidden that won't be made known. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, wait for the Lord to come. Don't judge anything. Wait for the Lord. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and expose the motives of the heart. Mm-hmm. And at that time, each will receive their praise from God. Now, here's a couple things to note here. So people all over the globe in the presence of God, they see clearly their right and wrong. Now, one of the things they say is, but God was not judging me. God was loving me. Mm. It was the most amazing, unconditional love they've ever felt. And he knew everything and reminded them of things they didn't know. And they were judging themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, some researchers said, see, this is not the God of the Bible, because he's not judgmental. He's not a punishing God. He's just forgiving. It's all good and all that. But a couple things. One, like we talked about on the break, a large percentage of people have actually reported having a hellish near-death experience. So it's not all good.
Right.
The other.
And you're not going to have as many people reporting that as you do something that's positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to put that on Facebook.
Yeah. So it's not all good. Now, the other thing that's important that we noted before is that Revelation 1:7 says every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't be surprised if non-Christians do see him. Paul did. So think about this, right? So Paul is killing Christians.
Right. Right.
Saul. Right?
Yeah.
And on the Damascus Road, this blinding God of light appears and he asks, who are you, Lord? And then he says, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now, note something. Jesus does not tell him the gospel, doesn't tell him what he should do or must do. He doesn't.
No. Not he says, not initially.
Go to the city and you'll learn what you must do. Mm-hmm. And then God sends Ananias. Now, why? And this is very important, because it used to confuse me. Well, why would God stand there face to face with someone loving them and not tell them the gospel?
Right. Drop the hammer.
Because he has you and me to do that. That's his MO. Mm. I mean, sometimes we Christians, we think God couldn't do that if he wanted, if he, you know, right, somehow limited.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's his plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
His plan is that we would get over ourselves enough and love people enough to share the most important thing in life, right, is that God loves all people. And what he did through Jesus is he doesn't stand ready to judge or condemn anyone, but to forgive them.
Yeah.
Okay, jump back real quick. So Jesus says actually exactly what near-death experiencers report. He says, by your own words, will you, he said, I did not come into the world to judge the world, I came into the world to save it. That's John 3:17, right? And then he says, by your own words will you be condemned, or by your own words will you be acquitted. So this life review is showing people, mm-hmm, that in God's presence, there's no hiding. Like, you can hide and justify,
right, sure,
like crazy here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they say, no, it was all clear. And what I deserved was clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, that acquittal comes from the recognition that I need God, and
right,
I need God's forgiveness.
Yeah, I can't get myself out of this pit. Yeah, and you mentioned that interpretive key is the boundary, that a lot of, yes, people come to this boundary and it's like here and no further.
So here is my theory after studying so many of them. And because God even says to them, you have to go back, you haven't died yet. They're like, what do you mean you haven't died yet? You have no heartbeat and you have no brain waves.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're in this heavenly experience, right? I believe this is a taste. This is something in between, mm-hmm, And the reason people experience this border or boundary, and by the way, also, you know, because in Imagine Heaven, I do a whole chapter on hellish NDEs.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of them is a tenured atheist college professor who's become a good friend. Actually, three of the hellish NDEs that I know are now pastors.
Wow, that's amazing.
Okay, and this guy, he didn't believe there was an afterlife at all, but when his duodenum ruptures in France, he finds himself, and initially, and this is another interpretive key, initially, he's standing there in the room and he feels great. He just felt the worst he's ever felt. Now he feels like Superman. He has this welcoming committee of people who are really friendly, and he's confused. He thinks they're going to lead him to surgery, but they deceive him and they lead him into this outer darkness, yeah. And they turn on him and begin to maul.
It's a horrible story.
It's like the worst prison scene you can ever imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has this thought in his soul. He remembers being brought to Sunday school as a kid. And he remembers the song, Jesus Loves Me. Mm-hmm. It's all he could remember. And in his desperation, he calls out, Jesus, save me.
Wow.
And into this outer darkness comes this light that ends up brighter than the sun. Arms reach out, grab him. As he just bawls like a baby, realizing how wrong he was, takes him out of there, and he gets a life review, okay? And he learns a lot of the things in that life review because he was not a good person.
Yeah, yeah.
And but he comes back, and imagine this. He leaves his tenured college professorship to become a Christian pastor.
Wow, amazing.
His wife, who is still an atheist, divorces him. His greatest... You know, he's told me, you know, the greatest heartache of his life is he convinced his children so well in atheism, they still are.
Yeah, gosh.
Which is really sad.
Yeah, very sad.
My point of it is that it was confusing to me. How could people cry out to God and he saves them after they've died?
Right.
Well, they haven't. And I don't fully understand this, but they have not crossed over that border or boundary that so many of them talk about. I knew if I crossed over there, I could not come back to earth.
Right.
And I believe that is the Hebrews 9:27, appointed for man to die once. That is the step into eternity,
exactly,
where all our choices are eternal lives.
And of course, God, being omniscient, knows in that moment that this isn't your final death.
Yeah.
He knows that. It's not like, oh, I don't know how this is going to turn out.
And I'll tell you, the other thing for us as Christians to just realize is that, you know, Jesus told a parable of the unfair boss who,
yes,
who, you know, gave people all the same pay, and people who didn't deserve it at all. They didn't even do any work at all. And God's grace is way bigger, man. I think,
amen,
than we sometimes want to give credit for.
That's right. Yeah.
He does not want anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to eternal life.
Yeah. And that's the type of joy and excitement and love and care for people that we should have, which should drive a gospel mindset. We have just about a minute left, John, believe it or not. But what would your number one encouragement to people to read the book? I mean, this isn't about numbers. This isn't about success. Just what the number one reason they should pick it up and just say, okay, I want you to give it a try because.
Yeah. Because it changes the way you live this life. Mm. You know, Hebrews 11 talks about all of God's heroes of faith.
Yeah.
And what it says is they had their mindset on a heavenly country, not on this one. That's why they could endure. That's why they could love. That's why they could walk by faith and take the risks.
Yes.
Because there is a heavenly reward coming. And here's the thing. If you don't imagine it, you won't live for it.
That's right.
You can imagine retirement.
Oh, man. And we plan and go crazy.
That's why you live for it.
Right. That's right.
God has something better.
Amen.
And that's what you need to imagine so that you can live for it.
What a great point. Pastor John Burke, God bless you, brother. Thank you for 30 years of work and interest and pursuit. And Imagine Heaven, what an incredible book. Guys, do yourself a favor and get this and read it and let it bless you like it blessed me and my wife. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll
Another program powered by the Truth Network.